Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here with Bengals tight ends coach James Casey. And I've been wanting to have you on podcast for a while now. This is just the right time. And I feel like for the first time in a couple of years, like your room is one of the main talking points through the first couple of days of training camp. So I want to get into how you got in this position because I think your perspective as a former player is really important when you talk about the current guys you have in your room. But just I want to start with what are your overall thoughts now that you've had these guys through almost 2 weeks of practice and a whole off-season program of your room as a whole?
I'm excited just as a group. There's six guys in there, and three of them are rookies, and three of them are veterans. And just uniquely with the tight end position, they come in all shapes and sizes. They're all, some of them are bigger, stronger, and they're more of a blocker. And they don't, they're not as good running routes. And some of them run routes really well, and they're not as good a blocker. But we got to be able to do everything. So right now, we're just trying to find the best group that are going to be on the active roster that can help us in multiple ways, as in different personnel groups. And but it is exciting because we have more, we have younger guys finally. We haven't drafted one since Drew in 2019. So now there's three rookies and two of them are draft picks. So it's a different mindset of understanding, from experience and from coaching a little while now, how hard it is for rookie tight end. So a lot of the focus is on the rookies because the veteran guys have been there, done that. And once you get to like year six, seven, like you kind of know the basics of everything. So you're more coaching like on specific stuff. And the rookies, they got so much to learn. So a lot of it's on the rookie stuff, trying to teach them like things. But overall, it's a great group of guys. There's six of them, and they've been doing a great job so far. And it's ups and downs, the emotional, roller coaster of training camp. But by the time we get to the season, like it'll all settle itself out, and hopefully we'll have a really good group.
You just brought up something that I want to ask, and that is you guys drafted two tight ends this year and the first time since 2019. And I think that you caught a lot of people in the NFL world by surprise this year by drafting not only one, but doubling up in the draft at the tight end position, because I think everybody thought that last year you guys were going to draft a tight end. I mean, I think every mock draft, which I know the coaches don't pay much attention to it, but in my world, all of the draft analysts, pretty much every mock draft was the Bengals are going to take a tight end because it was so loaded last year. How did you get to not just taking one tight end in Eric, but taking Tanner too in the decision? Like, why take two in one draft class?
Well, as a tight end coach, I'm just focused on tight ends and just coaching the guys that we have and trying to help them best way I can. And that so the draft pick stuff and the free agent signings and the roster stuff is above my pay grade. And I honestly don't even I tell the tight ends all the time, like I don't have a say a lot in like who's on the team and
So
who
you
drafted and
weren't
stuff.
like banging your fist,
Yeah,
like, we
that's
gotta
just
take two tight
and
ends.
we have with Duke and Mr. Brown and Zach, like they're all involved in all that stuff, and they're making those decisions. And but it has been, unique this because the last 5 years I've been watching all the tight ends and, grading them and seeing what I believe and then watching them kind of progress through the NFL to see who, trying to consciously think about like what I thought about them coming out of college and then what they've ended up being first couple of years. But we haven't drafted one in a long time, so this year was no different. I was doing the same thing and great, looking through all the guys and grading them, and I thought we were going to draft them for the last 5 years and we hadn't, so I'm, never getting my hopes up. And but then Eric was there in the fourth round, and we thought really highly of him. He's come off the injury, and he's done a great job of getting himself back. He's finally getting close to being like really cleared and being ready to go. And same thing with Tanner, like coming from Arizona, McLaughlin, watching his film, they all have a long way to go when they're rookies. Like none of them are coming in like really, really ready to go. There's outliers like Laporta last year was good. You could see for his college film, he's more kind of already kind of developed as a blocker a little bit better. But they all have a long way to go. And so I was excited this year to get not only one, but then two of them. But then I also knew I got my work cut out for me because I know from personal experience as a player and then from coaching, like it is really difficult for rookie tight ends to just like a rookie quarterback. It's really hard for a rookie quarterback to come in and be successful right away. So I'm trying to do everything I can to help them kind of jump through some of the growing pains that happens with young tight ends because there's so much they got to know, and they're going against Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. So they got to have a You got to be an exceptional type of person to be able to come in as a rookie and play, a meaningful snaps.
Well, you brought up an interesting point that I wasn't even thinking to ask you, but since you said it, like the evolution of the tight end position, probably it seems like right now, because maybe of the talent of the last couple of guys that have come out with the Laportas and the Dalton Kincaids, and then you have your stars like George Kittle and Travis Kelce, and maybe it's because the media spotlight is bigger on them. I mean, you have George Kittle on receiver on Netflix. Like, it feels like the tight end position has like been revolutionized a little bit. For the listeners that don't know, I wanted you to talk a little bit about your experience because I think that's what makes you such an interesting coach, because you have not that long ago you were playing and you're able to coach the guys in the position that you played, because sometimes coaches go in but they don't coach the position that they played. So will you tell me a little bit about your experience playing the position and how from your perspective you've seen it change from just when you stopped playing to now?
Yes, it's and it you know hopefully I did you know I, obviously it should be a huge benefit that I did play the position. Now I'm coaching it, but it's not a given that it is that. You also I can't just pretend just because I played it like I'm going to know everything. And some guys that didn't play the position are great coaches as well. But if even when I was playing, I knew I wanted to coach, so I was thinking about it back then. So now I'm trying to offer maybe a different perspective as I'm coaching these guys than they may get at other places or with other coaches. And it's still based off of it is great to, I play tight end, I coach tight end, so like I'm all tight end. I love tight ends, and it's all I think about all the time. It is great to see in the NFL where they're utilizing guys more and putting them in more, like really, really at the end of the day, like when you're watching the games and you're, it's so much about, I don't ever care about it, but I know like fantasy football and the fans and the media, and like really most people are just watching the where the ball goes, like who catches it. So they're not really watching the game within the game and like understanding how important all the other aspects of it are. And it's dependent upon, like you talk about the evolution of it, it's dependent upon the scheme of the offense. Like Kansas City with Kelce, they run a much different style of scheme as like George Kittle at San Francisco, where he's got to be way more involved in like the wide zone run scheme and pass protection. And so it's based off of what your offensive coordinator and your and it's based off the offensive coordinator and quarterback first. Like what style of quarterback do you have? What style of offense are you gonna run? And then the tight end's gotta be very versatile to be able to like mold themselves into whatever you're doing offensively. Because you don't wanna be what I think of it is you don't wanna pigeonhole yourself a lot, like as a tight end. Where if you're only a pass catcher guy or you're only a blocker, the defenses are really smart too. Like it's the NFL, it's a $1 billion industry. There's a lot of really smart coaches out there. A lot of really smart players. And so if you get where a certain guy goes in and he's only going to do these kind of things, and you take away a bunch of other concepts that you could do, it hurts you as an offense. So you got to kind of be selective of, which, if you just have a pass catcher guy, then if you're like Kansas City, well, they design their offense really around Kelce kind of. It's hard to get to that point though, as a young tight end, or to establish yourself being so good that you can have an offense kind of design it around you. Most of the time it's designed around the quarterback and your offensive line. So it's great to see it kind of branching out, and the tight ends are more involved in the pass game. But at the end of the day, it's still football. Like they got to be able to block. They got to be able to. They may not be the best blocker, but they at least got to be willing to do it and be adequate where they're not at a disadvantage when they're blocking. And then they got to be able to run routes and catch the ball, and not be at a disadvantage in that, but not be in a disadvantage as an offensive perspective. But they're really at a disadvantage on everything they do, like the tight ends, because they're blocking the DNs that are like Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. These guys are like 30 pounds more than them. And most of these guys that are like, every team we play has got freakazoid defensive ends that are making, $15 million. And then they got to run routes against safeties that are making a lot of money and are faster. But there is a huge advantage if you get good tight ends. That's why we've had kind of like a, the way it's shook out like the last couple of years, where we have different tight ends each year. And besides Drew, he's been the lone soldier that's been here the whole time. And so it makes it a little difficult when you get different guys each year. So I'm excited this year to have rookies. So hopefully we can get them going early on, and then we can have them here for a couple of years, and then they can, get better and better. And really, I can really, hopefully make an impact on the guy if I'm around him for multiple years, and he can really, really be smart and understand football.
I want to ask you specifically about each one of the guys in your room, but before I ask you about them, since we're talking about you being a former player, we were just talking before we started recording about your journey as a player, and a quarterback that you played with towards the end of your career was Peyton Manning. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because through the first couple of years, a lot of analysts and people that have studied the NFL for a lot longer than I have been open in saying they see a lot of comparisons between Joe Burrow and Peyton Manning. You played with Peyton Manning for how long?
Just like half of the season.
Half of a season. Well, you were at least in
That,
the meeting rooms and
yeah.
in the huddle with him long enough to know. You've been with Joe Burrow since he was drafted here,
Yes.
and I assume at this point you know him pretty well. How much do you think that they are a fair comparison, and what do you think of that when people say that?
It's tough to speak about other guys and just my own personal, perception of being around Peyton and just. He was a veteran guy at that point. Like, that's the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl when I was there in 2015. I got fired before the fifth game, but I was there all off season, and I got to sit next to Peyton in team meetings just randomly. He ended up sitting next to me, so I got to kind of be around him and see him, and obviously being around Burrow for the last couple of years. Like, there's certain things that stick out, like the everybody's personalities are different, and that's whatever. It's but the football aspect, just you see like the. Just all the intangibles, the confidence, the killer instinct, the your blood pressure never gets too high, depending on the situations, like being able to like lead in your own type of way, like so important for the quarterbacks to hold everybody else accountable, even the players, like they when they're out there, like they need to know that the quarterback, if you do something wrong, like the quarterback's gonna be mad, and that's not gonna it's nothing up our offense. I see that really as a big thing. It's like they both were like. They're both really, really smart. Like Peyton was obviously very smart. Joe's really, really smart. He's really intelligent. Like he puts the work in. He understands all the concepts. He knows what everybody's doing. He really knows what the defense is doing, just like Peyton did. And that's what all the great quarterbacks do. But then they also like they know their subtle ways of like how to kind of motivate the guys around them too. And it really just when you have a guy like that, like Peyton or like Joe, it's like it just rallies the whole team, even coaches. Like when you got a guy that's that confident and that good that. Everybody feels like we always got a chance to win, regardless of what situation is in the game. So it just keeps everybody like giving that extra little effort all the time. Even coaches, like extra little effort and game planning. And when we're on the field, like regardless of the situation, we always feel like we can win because we know we can, we trust that our quarterbacks knows he knows we can win. So we don't, we're everybody's looking to him to, and gives everybody confidence.
I feel like what you said about the intelligence is what most people say because Peyton Manning was always able to see what the defense was going to do, and most people praise Joe for his pre-snap reading ability and what he's able to decipher and then check into. So I feel like that's kind of why. But the second part of what you're saying, the leadership, it's been interesting this year because I'm sure you guys are in practice and see a lot of things as the media always gets kicked out after the first 30 minutes during the season. And then training camp, we haven't been able to see him in, because of his injuries. One of the biggest takeaways for me in camp this year has been watching Joe more intently and seeing how much more of a leader he's been. And I don't know if it's because you guys have a younger offense and there's a lot of new pieces as opposed to when Jamar and TB were in the huddle with him, like he knew exactly that they knew what they were doing. But I've just noticed a little bit more this year. It seems like he's just being a little bit more vocal, whether it be like him showing frustration when, there's a false start or a play didn't go the way he wanted and him talking to a receiver on the side after. It seems to me like he's been a little bit more of like a vocal leader. Do you feel like he's changed at all as a leader, or are we just seeing it more because he's actually able to practice?
No, I feel it too, Len. Especially with guys like Jermaine Burton, like the younger guys, and like Mike Gesicki. He's first year here. Like I love it when he goes and says something to him, and because end of the day, I'm coaching the tight ends, but I even tell the tight ends like if I may tell you something on a certain route or something about what we need to be doing, but if Joe tells you something, like do whatever Joe tells you. Joe's the quarterback. He's in charge out there, so it's good to see him, and some of that just comes with experience too. Like now that he's got the experience and. He's proven himself as a top tier quarterback, so he knows now like it's all about winning, so he knows what the guys that haven't been there that he can go and tell them some things, and it means a lot more when it's coming from him as opposed to a coach. So I think he's been doing a great job in training camp this year with like saying little things to Mike or some of the younger players, younger receivers, younger tight ends to really hear it from him, and then if they hear it from him, then they know like okay. Like I took, like talking to tight ends, like if Joe tells you something, that's something we definitely can't screw up. You can't screw that up. Like he's telling you, so you got to make sure you do that. And they get the sense as a players if he's telling you something too, like they know that, okay, I really got to be on top of this if he's giving me some kind of coaching point on something.
Right. And I think that's what makes this year the offense so exciting to watch it unfold over the first couple of months, because you almost knew what you were going to expect to some degree with the three receivers you had, and the tight end was kind of always, you didn't know what you were going to get until halfway through the season. I mean, when you look at Hayden and some of the guys, but this year there's just so much new, and it's going to be interesting to see how all those pieces come together. So one of the pieces that I wanted to start off with asking about, who we were just talking about, is Mike Gesicki, and you know him better than anyone. What do you feel like he brings to this offense?
He's long and he's really fast. He's really explosive. He catches the ball well. So hopefully he's, is going to give us more of a vertical threat, on first, second down and third down stuff. And just more something that the defense has got to be thinking about, because he is athletic enough and fast enough, and he's proven himself as a pass catcher, over the years, where the defense has got to know that he's out there, as opposed to sometimes when if a tight end's out there and he's not really of a threat too much of a vertical pass, they can design their coverages to kind of roll towards our receivers and kind of leave the linebacker on the tight end. So he's going to make the defense think about him. And he's been just overall, like, I've been really impressed with how just intelligent he is. He's a really, really smart guy. So it's helped me out a bunch as a coach, because most of my time is having to, like, work with the rookies. So because Mike's so smart and he's played football, it's like year seven for him, so he's kind of knows all the concepts. It's helped me out a lot, because I trust that he's going to know what he's doing on everything. And then we can talk more about pass game stuff with him. And of course, like, he's been told his whole career, is like he's a narrow guy, so he's not a big, strong guy. So he's gonna have a tough time, like, blocking consistently, being a great blocker over and over, just because he's not big enough. But if we can get him a little bit, a little bit better, and a little bit better sustain on the blocks and a little bit better finish, it's gonna be better for our whole offense. So we're not just, when he's in the game, they're not just thinking straight pass. Like, they have to be able to respect the run on first, second down stuff. But I've been really impressed with him. I'm excited to see him play, and it is going to add a different kind of element to our offense. Even with, like, Hayden, he's a different style player than Hayden. And I think Zach and Coach Pitcher, like, they do a great job. I personally believe better than most teams around the league, where they understand that different tight ends do different things and they have different skill sets. And it's not just like, hey, that's a tight end. It's like, well, it's, there's a big difference between, like, Drew Sample and Mike Gesicki, of who they are and what they can do and what they're best at. And they do a great job of putting those guys in situations where they are doing the things that they're good at, and not, but they got to be able to do the things they're not great at either. So it's fun to coach them, because I always have things to coach, because there's so many things we got to do. We always got to be working on route game stuff and blocking, and I'm always thinking, just trying to have a complete tight end guy, not just, hey, you're just a pass catcher, you're just a blocker. Like, they need to be able to do everything.
Right, so they're not predictable. The first thing when you guys signed him that I thought about was, for once in Joe's career, I will say, like, when you're gonna have T. Higgins out there in the red zone and Mike Gesicki, like, that's a lot of height that could play to your advantage in a smaller, compacted space. Do you envision him being a really big asset in the red zone?
Absolutely, yeah. That's like the first thing you notice. His speed across the field and, like, vertical stuff, just running, basically just running in a straight line, and he's hard to stop just because he's so fast. And if they're playing zone, he's going to open up at some point. Well, you got to pass protect it is the issue. But and then the red zone stuff, he's so long and he can jump. Like, it's going to add another dynamic to us in the red zone, where we have all of our base red zone concepts we've done in the past. And of course, we want to get the ball to Jamar and T. That's, we'd be dummies not to. But we also have another guy, depending upon what the coverage is, where, this training camp, it's really, a lot of it's about, like, Mike and, like, Tanner Hudson and all the guys getting Joe comfortable with him, so Joe can feel like he can trust him. If he gives him a shot, they'll make those contested catches like Jamar does and T does a lot of times. But he's gonna add, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see in red zone if we, hopefully, as we install the plays and we get the game plan throughout the week, like, hopefully there'll be more tight end plays. Sometimes in the red zone we don't have a lot of tight end plays, and understandably, right? We're getting the ball to Jamar and T and our weapons. But now, like, hopefully we can be more weapons too, and we can get us the ball more in the red zone.
What about Eric Gall? He's someone that a lot of the listeners who are from Cincinnati, they knew the name coming out of Cincinnati high school, local high school here. The main thing after the draft was, if he can get healthy, this guy could be a really big steal for the Bengals where you got him. What made you fall in love with Eric Gall in the draft process?
Yeah, I mean, when you put on film, like it's impressive film. When you're evaluating guys, like your first thing you're doing is you're gonna watch the film and like see how they play in college. And he played at Michigan, and then he played at Iowa, and like so he played at big programs. And he's proven on in his college film that he's a good player. Like he's explosive, he blocks, like he was tough, he was an aggressive style of player. Some of the things, like now that I'm getting more and more experience, like some of the things now I'm watching for is just like their kind of their contact strength. Like, are they going to run through guys? Or are they kind of more timid? Like certain guys, it's just natural, but certain guys, they'll run through contact. Certain guys, they'll kind of like, they'll stop and kind of not get those extra yards and run for the catch. So Eric was just, his film was like, if he wouldn't have been hurt, you were thinking he was going to be like, I pick. And then he had the knee injury against Wisconsin. And I was almost like, when I was watching his film, like as I'm starting the process and I see that injury, and I'm just like, I felt bad for him because I was like, he was having such a good year at Iowa and he was going to, be like a high pick, I believe. And then he got the injury and I was like, dang it. But then I was also selfishly thinking, well, maybe that means he falls in the draft later and maybe we can get him. And that's what happened. So I was surprised that he fell as far as he did. And, I mean, I don't know. That's not my job as far as that kind of stuff, but we drafted him and I was real excited. And then it was all about can we, how fast can he come back from that injury? And he's done a great job with that. So he's looking good right now and he's got all the ability, like all the tools. Like he's got good size, he runs well, he's strong, he's aggressive. Some of the stuff you can't coach, that just the human nature stuff. He's got all the human nature stuff that can make him really good. But he is a rookie tight end, so now it's like he's got to, learn how to be professional. Learn how to, you got to put all that time in outside the field. And it's ironically, like in the NFL, we don't even have as much time as like college guys a lot of times, because colleges, they have all these meetings and they're around them all the time. The NFL, through the NFLPA, we're like really restricted on all the time we have with them, so we don't have as much time. So he's just as the young guys, like they just start, understanding what it really takes. And then once he understands that, I think, he'll have a, I'm excited to see what he does this year, because
It was awesome to see him
you
catch that pass, his first
know,
pass when he
very
was.
first, yes, very first play. That's a good sign. First play, they kind of,
Well, I would love to ask you. I have a whole list of people I would love to ask you about, but I know you guys are super busy, so I have to let you go. But thank you so much. Hopefully, I can have you back on after the roster is out there and I can ask you about your whole room because I really
Yes.
enjoy talking to you.
Yes, because there is, like, I know we talked about Mike, but yeah, I have a great group of guys, like Drew's
Drew, the
solid,
Tanners,
Tanner Hudson, Tanner McLaughlin, and then Cam Grandy's been great too. So
Part two.
it'll be fun to see
Part
you
two.
again.
Part two.
Yes, thank
Thank
you.
you so much.
Thank you.